like to welcome everybody to this episode of Beyond the Massacre podcast. That's right, me and Mr. Lee are back. It is going to be episode number 62. On the last episode, you heard number 61 was the Birmingham, England band Besieged. Cool thrash band. Definitely go and check out the episode. Got a song on the end of it. Really cool stuff. But here we go. You got me and my co-host sitting right over there, Mr. Lee. And we're going to talk about who knows what kind of insanity today. I'm sure we're going to ruffle a little bit of feathers. So, Mr. Lee, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm finally back under a little bit of control from the madness that's been going on. But
you've been selling some stuff.
Yeah, I've been selling some stuff. Obviously, I got from Lucas from Dumenta. Actually, his packages finally came. So I have the Tripocalypse CD and 7 inches. And I'll tell you, man, he sent me the thing and, you know, he said, before I even do the pre-order, the green vinyl sold out. So I was like, oh, shit, I hope I get some. Well, I did. I got a small amount. I put them up, and they sold out. Within an hour, I was like, holy shit, I guess people really want that green vinyl. I still have the black left, and the black is preferably better to listen to audibly, I think. Sometimes with the color vinyl you get, I mean, it's just my opinion, maybe. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's just my imagination, but I've always felt the black vinyl always sound crisper, better. I don't know what the word is I'm looking for. More clear, less audio dropout. I did have the green one. I did have the green one, and it sold out like hot potatoes. I was very surprised. Like, holy shit, that went quick. And you know, I should have put a cap on it. I should have put a one per customer, because I had so small amount. But then I was thinking, I don't want to deny anybody. So there were a couple people that bought, a handful, four, at once. So I was like, oh, well, money's money, I guess. I mean, it's sad because, they're obviously going to turn it around and sell it for three times as much, but I can't control the scalpers. I wish I could. I wish there was an integrity kind of button, that kind of went off if somebody was trying to do that. But there obviously isn't. And I can't control that, but, just know that I tried to be fair and I tried to get it out there for everyone to get. I can't help that a couple people bought multiple copies and will probably resell them at some place on eBay or something, or Discogs or whatever. Although, speaking of Discogs, I saw something recently. I should have read the entire article. I think Discogs is kind of, they're trying to come down on that some of that price scalping stuff.
Yeah.
I did.
It's become an issue. I did see something on that too. It is becoming an issue, and what the problem most of these sites are starting to have is people are basically, and I mean, I'm sure it was always there, but now it seems to be more prevalent that there is a lot of people selling bootleg stuff and claiming that it's real. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's an issue because there was a lot of thought that maybe Discog had some sort of liability with all that. So I know they're trying to scale back on a lot of stuff that happens on there. But I mean, let's face it. I mean, it'll just move over to eBay or one of the other million fucking sites out there.
Yeah. I mean, you can't stop it. You can only you can only put up the rules or the moral. Try to steer people in their moral compass, but people are always going to be goddamn snakes. That's what I've learned. That's what this episode's about.
Yeah.
How snaky is
that's perfect. That worked right into that, didn't it? We didn't even have to, We didn't have to try to go into that. So look, man, we've both kind of been talking about the same thing, in a different way. So why don't you start off with with our major topic for today?
Well, I mean, it's just, the scene, and I say that, lightly, the scene that people think they're a part of, a big happy family. I mean, a family that exploits each other, come on. That's one thing Cam Lee doesn't do. That's one thing we won't do on this show. Pete doesn't do it either. We don't walk on eggshells. Anybody gets a little butt hurt or insulted by the things we say, you're only going to get insulted by the truth. I mean, and this is the truth from how we see it. It might not be your truth. You might come back with a rebuttal saying that's not how it is. It's really like this. But come on, when it all boils down to, when you pull away all the excuses and all the, and just strip it down to the skin and bones of it, You know what it is. And here it is. Everything's interconnected. It's a good, you know, first off, the scene, the metal scene itself worldwide is not as big as everyone thinks it is. It's a little smaller. It's a little bit in, it's interconnected. You know, I'm not trying to sound like a conspiracy theorist or a nut job, but everything's connected. So like, if I talk to one person over here in an agency, they're going to know somebody else in this particular agency or management group that knows somebody else overseas in a different agency and management group. So if something gets said or something especially gets done in a certain way, that's a negative way or negative toward that agency or that management group, it's going to get back to everybody eventually. And then when you're in a band and you're trying to get work, then they question you about it. And you're like, hey, how the fuck did he know about that shit? So you really got to watch. It is true, man. You got it's entertainment business and you got to watch what you say, or you could be like us and just basically make everybody the enemy. I don't know.
You know, I got to say, I was kind of surprised about that. And I learned my lesson the hard way over the last couple months is that it is very small. And, you know, it's so small to the point that you might think that people don't know each other, but everyone does. And once you start asking and talking to people, you realize that everybody knows everybody. So that small fish or that small person, that the person you assumed was a small fish, is probably a little bit bigger than you thought he was, and probably is talking to more people than you realize. And next thing you know, people are like, hey, is this what you think about us? And I'm like, and we're like, well, how did you? Well, there you go. So look, it is that way. It is almost mafia kind of thing. Everybody's interconnected. Everybody knows each other and they all talk. Whether it's promoters, booking agencies, management companies, everybody talks and everybody knows each other. And I personally didn't realize just how connected they all truly were until stuff, you know, that kind of happened over the last couple months.
Yeah, it's the OMI Alliance. And for those of you who don't know what the OMI Alliance is, I've been playing a lot of Yakuza lately, Like a Dragon. And if you play Like a Dragon, you'll know all about the OMI Alliance. Basically, yeah, it's literally that connected. It's insane to think that worldwide our scene, which is very small. People in metal think the scene is humongous and it's big because there's fans all over the world. But the scene, I'm talking about the nitty-gritty scene inside, the inside stuff. The movers, the people that make the scene move, the labels, the management companies, regardless of how crooked they are, and I call them all crooked. You're all fucking crooked. That's why I don't have management. And the agencies, the touring agencies, they're all interconnected, and they all know each other, and they all talk to each other, and you know, and it's like I said, it's a very interconnected spider web of connection, you know, how everyone's connected in some way. And now it's not to say like Pete and I don't talk shit about everybody. It's not like we say, yeah, this person sucks or this person sucks. And, you know, we're like, they're making enemies left and right, but we're also a person that we know when we're getting fucked or when somebody's about to insert a finger up our ass, we're just not going to sit there and take it. Like, and I'm going to make enemies now by saying this. There's a lot of bands out there, a lot of person, you know, people in the business that take a fucking dick up their ass, you know, figuratively, maybe literally, I don't know. But there are a lot of you guys that do, and girls and whatever, that just sit there and let this happen and you're complacent about it. And my problem is this is the young punk rocker in me. I've always been against the whole complacency against things that you want to do or playing the game. I don't play the game. And I'm becoming to realize that maybe I should play a little bit of the game. Maybe I should, instead of standing here outside on the, you know, the benches, sitting here watching everybody else play, because I'm really not interested in it, but I want to do my own thing. Maybe in order for me to actually get on the field, I should play the game a little bit. So I'm in that conflicting part because I'm an old man now, and I'm like, I've stood my ground for 40 fucking years. Do I really want to play the game now? Well, in order. And what I was trying to say is, I said this to you earlier, Pete, I've done things do it yourself. I've done things what I've considered to be the true underground way, but I've also think that I've hit the ceiling in the do-it-yourself underground way. And in order for me to kind of break out of that, you know, continuous bubble that I'm in, I might have to play the game a little bit. And, you know, a little, part of that makes me uncomfortable, but part of that makes me feel like, well, in order to get over that one hump, I might have to, I'm not taking a dick up my ass just to let everyone know, but I might have to just, you know, play a little bit of the game and play ball with some of these motherfuckers.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't think you're going to mind it if I talk about this. So, you know, a good example is when it comes to booking shows and festivals in Europe. We tried to do it without using a booking agency. I sent out all kinds of emails, the whole nine yards, and doing it the DIY way. I'm fucking happy because, I mean, I managed to get one of the biggest metal festivals in Europe. You know, we got Rockstadt that way in Romania.
And I appreciate it.
And we got a nice smaller, you know, the Czech death metal fest, which is cool. However, that was it. You know, doing it the DIY style, you know, I was able to get two festivals. You know, I had so many no's, and not only just no's, but like low ball, just absolute insanity. The amount of the little amount of money that people were actually thought that Massacre would play for. Now, you know, then, you know, I was like, we talked and I was like, look, I've hit a wall. I can't do anymore. This isn't going to work. I'm making myself crazy. You know, you need to go back to, you know, Flaming Arts and let them do stuff. And they did. They were able to then turn around and get festivals, which just shows you when it comes to festivals, there is an in, you know, there's that back door that these promoters have. And, you know, it is a give and take kind of, it is a give and take kind of thing. And obviously booking agencies and promoters run the festivals, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say you have recently spoken to somebody, we won't name the person. You recently spoke to somebody who has a little bit more insight to this and kind of like, you know, gave you basically everything we believed to be true. You know, kind of solidified it and said, yeah, you know, this is how it works. It is this way. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I wanted to interject that so you can continue with what you were saying.
What the person said only verified what me and you had thought.
Yep.
You know,
yep,
I mean,
exactly.
And, you know, the person is at a big enough level that they know what's going on. And It comes to the point that you have to make a decision, which is, you know, you just talked about. You're at that point. You know, you've tried to go the DIY way, you know, with Massacre when it came to booking shows and doing that. And yeah, you know, there was a little success, but when you look at the success we had doing it DIY opposed to the success you have doing it with a booking agency, it's night and day. I mean, it's not even, you know, it's not even apples to oranges. It's, you know, apples to, you know, a grape. You know, it's a completely different thing. And it's because there's a brotherhood. There's an interconnection. There's a mafia to the whole thing. You know, these festivals, and we should talk about that too. There are different levels of festivals that are basically happening now in Europe. And you can see it is clear as day now. You know, you can see there are festivals that are bigger festivals that are sponsored. You have your Alcatrazes, your Vakens, your Summer Breezes that have corporate sponsors. And then, you know, you have smaller festivals now that are doing it themselves. You know, maybe they have a little bit of money behind them, whatever, but they're existing. Now, they might have maybe, you know, one bigger, air quotes, band that you've heard of. Some of them don't have any of them, but they have, they have a bunch of underground bands, which is going to be awesome because this is going to cause a whole new rebirth of something. You know, who knows what it's going to be? You know, me and you were talking about that. You know, who knows what happens next? You know, we are definitely now the old men. You know, there's no question. Everything is, you know, we've been passed by.
Yep.
Still relevant to a point. You know, you still have your legacy status and that still has something, but that's not going to last long because there is going to be a huge, huge uprise of younger bands now because of these smaller festivals that, you know, you're going to be able to go see a bunch of bands, you know, let's face it. If you're going to some of these festivals and there are, you know, 40, you know, bands you've never heard of, you know, even if 25% of them are crap, that's still going to be 70%. You're still going to have a good freaking handful of young, hungry bands. And I mean, me and you know that. When you're a young, hungry band and you've got nothing to lose, that is when you're the most dangerous, because that is when you are going to put everything out there on the line. Just like, you know, you did in the early days, you know, with Massacre, you know, like you guys were doing with Mantis. You guys had nothing to lose. You know what I mean?
There I would drop my pants on stage. Yeah, all that kind of stuff.
But that's exactly it. And I have a feeling that, you know, this is going to be great for the scene as far as younger bands go. I mean, because, you know, whether we like it or not, it is changing. There's a changing of the guard happening at the moment. It's going to probably take place for the next 2 or 3 years. And then, you know, all the legacy bands will be, you know, pretty much gone. And it'll be younger people and it'll be younger bands. And these new festivals that are smaller are just going to, they're giving these younger bands a place to just grow and flourish. And it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, majority of the legacy bands are at you know, nursing home age now. they're about to enter the nursing home. You know, they're shitting themselves. You know, not they. You know what? You know, they can't control their bowel movements.
Yeah, and you know, and the funny thing is you know, you'd mentioned it, and it didn't occur to me till after you said it. But like basically the legacy bands now are the Motley Crues of our days, are the Poisons of our days. Yep. They're the commercial successful bands of our days that we were just like, well, you know what? It's time to put these motherfuckers to bed. You know, they need to fucking die.
I mean, think about it. In the '80s, I mean, yeah, when you're in high school and then, you know, like Shout at the Devil first came out, you were like, oh, that's kind of cool. And then you really, really listen to it and you're like, that's kind of gay. You know, hey, and I don't mean that. I mean, I'm just using 80s vernacular here, people. Don't get all triggered. But yeah, I mean, that's how we said it. We're like, and then Poison came out like, oh, man, that's really gay. And, you know, it's like, and then Autograph and all that stuff. And you're like, you know, we want to be something different. We want to be a little bit more heavier. We want to be a little bit more. And then even like when, you know, Metallica and Megadeth all came out, we're like, oh, no, this is fucking awesome, but we can be better. You know, we can be darker. We can be more, you know, evil or more, you know, more gory. You know, I never picked up on the evil thing. I didn't want to do the whole, like, you know, Hail Satan stuff. But I was more of a gore maniac and a whole kind of like weird science kind of stuff. Weird, you know, H.P. Lovecraft, you know, very misanthropic and just, you know, tentacles. I mean, that could be because of hentai. I mean, I'm a big hentai.
There you go. It could be because of hentai.
It probably is, man. I grew up with a lot of, you know, La Blue Girl, you know. Girls being raped by tentacle beings from outer space.
Good God.
You know, Arak Sakadoji. You know, it's...
Oh, shit. Well, there you go, folks. We've deteriorated down to hentai fucking tentacle porn.
Yep.
But no,
I got the whole La Blue Girl collection, man. I'm not gonna lie, I got it all.
Well, there you go. But I mean, it's the truth, you know. And it's I never put that together till you said it. And now that you've said it, it's clear as day to me. You know, I mean, it's the truth.
What, that Massacre's hentai.
Massacre's hentai tentacle porn. Yes. That's it. That's what I'm coming out on, dude. I'm going to dress up as a fucking big tentacle on stage. I'm just going to fucking slither my way out when you guys are playing. And just this tentacle's going to come out. But no, I mean, that's really what it is, man. And, you know, people can deny it all they want. And, you know, the funny thing is I've seen people, you know, out there talking about how this is, you know, this is great. It's, you know, it's the revival. It's not. It's the passing of the torch. It's the.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the end of that first generation of death metal. I mean, it's coming, you know, and all
extreme metal. I mean, even thrash, you know, all of it. The whole thing is just like, you know, you can only take so much of your. You were saying this earlier. There's so much of only, you know, Slayer somebody can listen to, or so much only Morbid Angel that somebody can listen to. Somebody so much of like, you know, even like the Florida band. So how many times can somebody re-listen to Obituary or Cannibal Corpse?
Yeah.
And now there's this younger generation of bands that are reaching out. Like, I think you said you were talking to Pat from Hellwitch about this.
Yeah.
That there are younger fans reaching out and going, there's got to be something more. And they're digging deeper into it and they're finding more obscure demos and stuff. So that was a really cool, you know, you and I were having that conversation earlier that, yeah, there does seem to be this just generation of younger fans that are not, they're not going to be complacent. They're not going to just stick with what's the commercialized. Because let's face it, it's commercial.
Yeah.
It's commercial now. Death metal. If you can walk into a fucking mall, if you can walk into any mall and buy a death metal shirt, that's not underground.
Yeah, no.
Okay, if you're buying that band, I don't care if it's Slayer, Cannibal Corpse, Morbid Angel, Cradle of Filth, whatever. If you can fucking find it in the mall, it's not underground.
Yeah.
Now, I can tell you right now, even death, you can fucking go into Hot Topic and buy a death shirt. But I can tell you right now, you're not going to find a Massacre shirt in the mall.
No, so, you're not. No.
Unless it's Indonesia. You might find one in Indonesia.
There you go. Yeah. You guys are big in Indonesia, man. So, but no, I mean, that is, you know, me and Pat were talking about that earlier today, is that, you know, there is, you know, he was talking about how there's a huge resurgence of, you know, people interested in the band.
I saw what you did there.
Yeah. There's a huge resurgence of people interested in Hellwitch, and you know, they're all younger fans, and it's, I'm really convinced it's because people have reached the limit of listening to the more popular legacy bands, you know, the Obituaries, the Deicides, the Morbids, you know, the Deaths, all that stuff, you know, everybody's heard those albums a lot, and there are younger kids that are like, well, there must be something else. This couldn't have been it, you know, and there are new podcasts, there are YouTube shows that are delving deeper now into, you know, the whole Florida scene and stuff. And it's surprising that, you know, I mean, I won't lie, and I did not say this to pump myself up, but I was literally, you know, sitting there doing something else the other day, watching one of these YouTube things, because it was on the Florida scene. And I read in a description that they were going to have a piece on Killing Addiction and Hellwitch. And I'm like, oh, this is fucking cool. And then I was like, I was doing something else. And then all of a sudden I heard this song and I'm kind of bobbing along. I'm like, hey man, I know this. Who the fuck is this? And then I go and look and it's fucking Rupture. It's my own goddamn band. But I say that in saying this, younger people now are really starting to dig deep. They're still really starting to look into what else was there, you know, because it's always that way. No matter how much, it's same thing with art. You know, you have a million Monets and Van Goghs and all this, but you had a lot of other people that were doing the same impressionism or cubism or whatever at the same time that just weren't as popular, probably as good, just didn't have that name. And, you know, that's really cool to see that you see all these younger kids getting and digging now. And the more they dig, the more they dig, the better it is for everybody. And especially, you know, is how it's going to be for the history, because you're going to have more people, you know, instead of just going and screaming, you know, Possessed and Seven Churches and fucking whatever, you know, they're going to start seeing, you know, those Necrophagia demos. They're going to start seeing that Deathstrike stuff. You know, they're going to start seeing all that other stuff. And that's only going to be good for, that's going to be great for the scene. It's going to be great for the legacy of the scene, because, you know, we know it was there, you know, all us old fucks know it was there, you know, we lived it, but you know, it seemed like the younger kids weren't quite as interested, but as time goes on, it really seems like they are. And that's going to be just awesome. I mean, that makes me happy to know that they are, maybe I'm really right, that in 100 years, when historians go back and look at the history of death metal, it's going to get rewritten the way it should have been written in the first place.
Yeah, to a certain extent, I do believe that, because I mean, first off, the loudmouth haters are no longer going to be alive. So, you know, there's not going to be anybody to say, you know, oh no, you know, it's not Massacre because Freddie's not in the band. So, you know, you don't have that, you know, and you know, and that brings me to some, I fucked up. I said, we were never going to bring him up on the
you
show.
Did. You did. You did.
Yeah. I fucked up. I'll admit it. I fucked up, but I want to just, and the reason why I'm bringing that point up is I want to bring up what I sent you the other day. And it was not even from a metal website. I sent you a photograph, a screenshot from a Florida history blog.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the only reason I brought this up, I'm kind of segueing into it, was in the history blog. It basically, now I didn't write this. It's not even a metal website, but it's on a Florida history blog. It says death metal was created in Altamont Springs.
Yes.
And there's a photo, an old photo of Death with myself, Chuck, and Rick. Now, here's the thing. People can argue all day long now because those people are still alive and they think they got a voice because social media gave them a voice. They can spit and yell and scream all day fucking long. But the fact is this, the photo doesn't lie. And 100 years from now, when there's nobody to bitch and complain and make fucking one side or one judgment one way or the other, the photo shows all three of us together in 1984. And that's all anyone's going to give a fuck about.
Of course.
Because regardless of how Jesus-ified or whatever it is, martyrified or however they made Jesus Chuck now.
Jesus
Chuck. Yeah, he's Jesus Chuck. So,
I know.
And no matter how weary he is now, when you scale it down and you look at that photograph 100 years in the future, no one's going to think, oh, that guy to the left of that photo is the Jesus, and these are his two disciples. No one's going to think that. They're going to look at it across the board and go, there's the three guys that you know, basically helped create this genre of music.
Yeah.
So we're going to be equaled out. That's what I'm trying to say. It's the photo equals us out, regardless of what the fucking haters are saying right now. Fuck the haters. I don't care. You guys won't be here 100 years from now. Neither will I. But the history will be.
Yeah. Of course. And look, since you brought it up, I've got one thing to say about that thing I sent you, and it'll only take about 30 seconds. Look, folks, I get it. You guys all want to think what you want to think. You want to follow who you want to follow. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. But you need to take a really close look at what some people are posting these days, because talking about biting the hand that feeds you, you know, if you can't, yeah. you can't go and beat up the band that you have a cover, that you're doing a cover band of, and say, this is my death, this is your death. It's all death.
Yeah.
And there are cover bands that cover both those errors. So talk about biting the hand that feeds you. I was astonished. I don't know how high or stoned he was when he posted that, but there was no thought put into that, because that is the most ridiculous thing, as being his only source of fucking income right now. Holy fuck, I would have never posted anything like that. And if
I don't think he's smart enough to get it. He thinks it's funny. You're dealing with a guy that dropped out of high school and has a sixth grade, you know, education level.
Yeah,
and there's probably oranges that fall off trees and rotting that have a higher IQ than he does. So I mean,
yeah. No, you're right. I'm just amazed. And you also see that, you know, you see why he managed to get himself, you know, removed from bands or kicked out of bands over time, and why, you know, he hasn't done anything else, because obviously he's his own worst enemy, and it is what it is. And I don't care. I don't want to deal with it, but I'm just telling people out there, those of you that are his followers, and I know he listens to the podcast and the whole nine yards.
You're not supposed to be talking about him on the show. God damn it.
Wow. That's all I can say is just fucking, but wow. So anyway, we're moving past that. So what else did we want to talk about? I will say this real quick. You know, talking about what we were talking about with this whole resurgence. See, did it again. Resurgence. This whole resurgence of, you know, people, you know, looking at the old school stuff and stuff. I had a point when I was talking about, you know, look, people are sick of hearing the same old albums, right? The one thing no one can ever say about Massacre. And I'm not just saying this because I'm your friend, because we do the podcast together, any of that stuff. I'm saying this as a fan of music. You are currently doing music that is probably better than the From Beyond era, and as equal to those early days of the demos, of the Massacre demos. And if people haven't heard them, that is some of the most aggressive Massacre that existed. You know, it was, a lot of it was actually better than the stuff that came out on From Beyond. I don't even think that's a debate. Yeah, but you are now doing stuff that isn't that same old stuff that everyone else has turned out, because they've had a lot, they've been doing the same band for the last 35, 36, 37 years. And they can't do anything else. You took a break and walked away from music. And I think that is the best thing that happened for Massacre, because you walked away from it all. You didn't keep doing the same album over and over and over and over and over again. And when you came back to it, you had new ears. And you are always pushing the envelope now. And I mean, you know, I've said it a million times, you know, Halloween song is my favorite Massacre song, period. Now it's eclipsed any of the old stuff. And, you know, I love the new stuff you're doing because it's not the same old Massacre just rehashed over and over and over again. And I think it's going to set you apart.
Exactly. How many wash, rinse, repeat fucking albums can we have? How many cookie cutter albums can we have? I mean, obviously, yeah, because again, I'm not attacking the fan base, but God damn, man, the fan base is so fucking simple. They're simple minded. And it's like, you know, great. I'm glad you guys like, you know, this. It's like, I see people argue, and with horror movies, people will argue, oh, the first one is like with Evil Dead. Oh, I only like the first one. It's the only one I like. Why? Are you that close-minded? You don't want to open up to the other stuff? Maybe the other stuff, you know, I find something in everything, at least when it's my favorite genre of stuff. I try to find something in everything. I might not like every bit of it, but I do try to find the good points in it. Why be negative? Like, Killjoy taught me a big thing a long time ago when he was alive. And I was being closed-minded about horror movies, and he just said simply, with calm and collectively, he said to me, why hate on it? Why hate on it? Imagine if they just stopped making them. Imagine if there were no new horror movies coming out. And I was basically comparing the old 80s horror movies to the new stuff and just saying, I love the old stuff. I'm not really into the new stuff. And then he was basically trying to teach me a lesson by saying, why are you being closed-minded? Why are you not, you know, opening up to accept the new stuff? Imagine if they just stopped making it, you know. And those words to me, that made me go, wow, he's right. You know, maybe I am being stupid and closed-minded and thinking in this small little box. Why don't I try to be a little bit more open and accepting and try to appreciate it rather than rip on it all the time? So in the same sense, I'm trying to say that about the music, and I'm trying to say that about Massacre, is I wasn't going to continue to be cookie cutter. I did what I thought was the right return, or the resurgence after From Beyond, which was Resurgence. And I was given, you know, music prior to that from a couple of other idiots that tried to write the music, and it was wrong. It just didn't work. It's just like, I tried to work with it. I'm sorry, I'm not feeling it. It's not working. And I had somebody else recently just say, try to come back and say, Massacre's not Massacre because it's just Cam. Well, yeah, it is just me, and I am Massacre. So just deal with it, motherfuckers. You know, you had those other guys do their version of Massacre, okay, without me. I'll say this one last time on the show. They had their chance at doing Massacre without me for 5 years, or 4 years at least, from 2010. I'm sure they got together in 2008 right after I fucking stepped out. But from 2008 or 9, 10, up to 2014, they had their time, you know, and it still didn't work. And I wasn't even involved, you know, so you have that version of Massacre. Go and enjoy it. You got two albums under a fucking, you know, Mr. Ricky's fucking leadership. Go enjoy those two albums, you know, go enjoy them, because, you know, but the version that is now is me. It is my version. Now, when people try to insult the Massacre now by saying it's just Cam with a bunch of friends, yeah, it's exactly what it is. It's me with not just a bunch of friends, but accomplished musicians that know what the fuck they're doing and write music that is Massacre based and has that formula. And like you said, is not saying cookie cutter shit. It has that basis. It has that formula. It has the roots, but it alternates, it changes, it kind of goes in a different way. I mean, it's not like I'm suddenly doing, you know, that one fucking Morbid Angel album that all of a sudden became a rap album or fucking whatever, industrial album. It's not that much of a change. I mean, it's not that, but you know, that's another person who left and came back, and then I didn't do that. Okay, I didn't completely change the fucking music, you know, formula. I kept the formula, and I made sure that the musicians I used knew that, and the musicians I use now today know that. You know, Johnny Pedersen, Roga Johansson, they worked on Resurgence, they worked on the Mythos album, they worked on all the singles, all the stuff that came out on Corpus Umbra, all the way up to Tripocalypse. They've worked on all of that, and even Evil Dead Rise, which just recently came out. It was just a new single. Now it's, like you had said, mentioned before in the scene, now it's a time to pass the torch. Because what happened was, on Evil Dead Rise, I've been working with Carlos Gonzalez now for 3 years. Carlos Gonzalez has been the live performance guitarist when we do performance. Carlos now does a solo on Evil Dead Rise. This was my way of saying, okay, guys, let's pass the torch. Let's have Carlos come in and do it. So Carlos did that. Carlos is on the new album. The new album was written again by Roger Johansson, Johnny Patterson. But I have Carlos do a solo on that, actually two solos. And then, you know, we had Frey Mancini from Necrosy.
Necrosy.
Yeah. She does a solo, and I've got other guest people. I have Michael Grimm, who, you know, if you guys know the history, Michael Grimm was the reason I got back into Massacre. He was in The End, and he was in Massacre for a little bit. I said, you know, I always felt bad how he was treated, how he was pushed out of the band by a person we're not supposed to talk about anymore on the show. And so I said, you know, I've always been friends with him from that point on and still to this day. And I wanted to bring him in and give him an opportunity to be a part of Massacre the way it was meant to be. And I let him do the vocals in the song. Of course, I do the structural vocals around it, but he does all the chorus. That's all him. So I brought him in to do that. And I'm trying to be fair to the people that are right for this band and trying to be fair to the fans that are fans of this band, not the fans of the old stuff that they're just there to be annoying. They're just there to suck up to their buddies and just be triggering. Oh, well, it's just Cam with friends. Yeah, it is just Cam with friends, because Cam is Massacre now. And some people need to get over it and realize it. Hey, I paid my dues. This is 40 years. Where the fuck were you guys 40 years ago? Nowhere. Exactly. You know, these people bitching on the internet, trying to make a relevant point. You've done nothing in your lives. Because I can tell you something right now. Anybody that complains on the internet, you are talentless nobodies. You've done nothing in your life.
Nobodies. So you think,
yeah, you. They. What it is? You ever notice the loudest people are the dumbest people are the
always,
loudest people.
Always.
And they always type in all caps, and they all have to say something that just to make them get noticed. But again, like you said, 100 years from now, who's going to remember them? Nobody. They're not even going to be a thought. They're not even a thought 5 years later. 5 years from now, no one's going to remember what the fucking, oh, some guy was hating on Cam Lee. Oh, just stand in line. Stand in line, motherfucker. You know, you're just one of a bunch that it really doesn't matter in the end, because here's the facts. I'm still putting out albums. I still got musicians that are top musicians helping me write the music that is perfect for Massacre. I'm still touring. I'm still out there doing stuff. You're on the internet in your mom's basement jacking off to porn and in between ripping on me.
I mean, you know. Jacking off to porn.
Yeah, in your mom's basement.
In your mom's
and
basement.
And you're coming on your mom's, you know, towels, you know, wiping up with your mom's, you know, hard-earned money. She bought those towels. She didn't want them all sticky and hard. And you're splooging all over them.
Oh,
shame on you.
Oh, good God. That's just scary. But no, hey, look, and that also, you know, brings us back to the other point, you know, we were talking about before. You have an advantage over a lot of these other legacy bands, because a lot of the other legacy bands still have those same songwriters. And, you know, they're stuck in a rut. They don't know where else to go. You know what I mean? When you've been writing the same stuff for 38 years, at some point the well goes dry. Or you keep going back to the same well, getting the same exact bucket of water and expecting, you know, it to taste different every time. And it doesn't. And you know,
that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
you have, because you were using different musicians, you're using younger musicians. Now you've switched over, you know, that Carlos is starting to write stuff. You know, you are always progressing with Massacre, you know, never satisfied to just sit back and, you know, do the same old thing always, you know, which is something I've always respected. And especially, you know, since recently when you see how much you're pushing, you know, and you're doing it all yourself, and, you know, do a lot of people, you know, would have basically a lot of people don't understand all the stuff that goes behind the scenes, but you know, a lot of people would have given up, you know, with the struggles you've had with the record labels and all the bullshit that goes on, but not you. You know, you just find another way of doing it. You go on Bandcamp and you fucking release stuff, and you find, you know, you're always looking for another way of doing stuff. And that's something, you know, if people that don't realize it, you know, they don't have a clue just, you know, how much you actually fight every day to, you know, keep moving forward and to stay relevant.
Well, you know what always surprised me is like, I know you've said to me in private, you know, like, how do you fucking keep doing it? How the fuck do you keep going? Yes. How the hell, my wife says it sometimes. She's like, I don't understand how, first off, she gets mad at the fucking haters and you know, with the key haters, I'm not talking about the fucking peons that try to. And she's like, I don't understand. What is wrong with them? What did you do first? That she's always like, did you fuck their moms? I'm like, I don't know. It's pretty bad. And then she's like, what, how do you keep going? And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe I'm a masochist. I don't know. Maybe I'm somewhat of a masochist in some ways. But you know what? I don't give up no matter how many times I was knocked down. And maybe I grew up, because you grow up being bullied and you get punched and beat up so many times, so you finally, you take it so much that you become numb to it, and you stand up and you say, no, fuck you, you redneck son of a bitch, and you hit him with a baseball bat and dislocate their jaw. Then you're like, okay, now I'm talking. So if I get to get pushed to the point where I've got to pick up a baseball bat and dislocate someone's jaw, that's where I'm going to be, because I'm not going to give up regardless of how many times I get knocked down. And I think 40 years of doing this shit with all the shit and the fucking hate campaigns spreaded about me, the smear campaigns all over the place by respected people in the underground music scene, all the shit that they've done to me, all the fucking goddamn. And, you know, this is another thing we could segue into. Talking to my label, before I get ahead of myself, the media. Okay. We know the media is biased. We know this.
No way.
We know they are. We know they are. And I was talking to my label, my current label, and my current label really came back to me with very cool, unexpected surprise. Cause I was talking about the, you know, getting in touch with the PR guy, getting public relations, you know, and the label guy said, you know what, doing interviews in American magazines or American websites for metal is absolutely useless and it's not going to help you. And he was like, because they're biased and they're going to come up with all they care about is the gossip. That's what the label said to me. All they care about is gossip. They don't care about the music. I want to get you with interviews with smaller independent, you know, fanzines and independent webzines and stuff like that, who care about the music, who don't want the gossip. And I was like, wow, that's coming from a label. Wow. That made me respect the label more. I was like, wow, that's fucking awesome, because that's the level I'm at. I don't want to play the game, but when the label comes back and tells me, we don't got to play their game, fuck that. We'll play our own game. And respect, man. I totally respect that. So that's like what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and look, there's a good point to that, you know, and we've seen it with, you know, with the podcast. You know, other people literally get on other websites and news agencies just by saying, hey, you know what? I really like that new Metallica album, or I hated the new Metallica album. And that gets some of these people in these fucking on these websites or magazines. And I'm like, holy shit. You know, we've talked to basically pretty much all the biggest players when it comes to the old school death metal scene, you know, at this point, you know, there's still a couple people more we could hit, but, and we haven't even got a sniff of anyone even being slightly interested. And you would think with having so many guests on that talked about, you know, their history with the scene and what they're doing with music now, and, you know, all this other cool stuff we got from people, you would figure, you know, one of these websites or magazines would, you know, even do something on us. No, not a bit. And I'm not crying. And yeah, maybe at first I was a little bit hurt, but I'm not anymore. Now it's a badge of honor to me. You know what I mean? Now you know, when we could get Shane Embry on here, you know, that, you know, says that, you know, Barney basically, you know, got his, you know, style from you. You know, yeah. which we had heard the stories before. I mean, you knew them. I mean, freaking, you know, and we know the people that were there and heard it, and we heard it from them too. You know, but to have Shane come on and say that, dude, any other, if it was any other person in the scene that said that about Barney, it would have been all over all those websites and magazines. But because it's on our website, no one gives two fucks. So for me, it's a badge of honor now. For me, I absolutely love it. For me, I'm happy. I could give two shits. They can all suck a dick as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, obviously it's, I mean, we're talking to people, and people that are listening to the show, they either know this or they're going to disagree. I don't really care. But the simple fact is this, it's proof, you know, it's proof that the mass media, the bigger part, that's why I say the underground is not underground. Stop calling it the underground. You know, stop it. It's not the underground anymore. If it's on Blabbermouth, it's not underground. If it's on Metal Sucks, it's not underground. You know, it's just stop calling it underground music. It's not. The underground music, underground means it's not widely known.
Of course.
It's obscured. It's underground. What is, look, you know, go get the dictionary out and look up underground. Subterranean. It's below the surface. You know, so that's what I was trying to talk about earlier. Do I want to stay? Because I think I've hit the top of the below the surface. I've hit the top of the cave.
You can't. I mean, look, let's face it. And I mean, for people that don't realize it, you know, and I mean, you just have to look around. The perfect barometer for that is where these bigger, the big monster, you know, corporate festivals decide to put you in bands of your legacy time. You know what I mean? You guys are quickly falling down, you know, and it's not just you. There are other bands in the same exact place. I'm not going to name names. People just have to look at fucking Running Order. Go ahead.
I will just say this. I have to interrupt you here. You showed me something, and you shared it on Instagram yesterday.
Yes.
Blew me away. Okay. You had put Massacre and Venom Inc. back to back. Really cool. But you know what blew me away more than that? Because I thought that was very respectful. I thought it was awesome. But what blew me away more than that? Cro-Mags is opening for us, and I was like, what the fuck? I was like, Cro-Mags is before us? That I feel bad, but part of me feels a little proud. I was like, wow, Cro-Mags is opening for us. But then again, I don't really give a fuck about the Running Order. I've never given a fuck about that stuff. I don't care. You know, it's not like a badge of honor. Oh, I get to be the headliner. I hate headlining. But I was just a little bit blown away to see that the Cro-Mags was before us. Yeah, so
that's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Go ahead. No.
Like I said, I was just going to say, that's what I mean about, I think we have hit the ceiling as far as being underground. We've hit the ceiling. We're at the top of the ceiling. There's nowhere more higher in the underground I could go unless I break the surface. So yeah. That's what I was trying to.
Yeah. No. And, you know, my point is this, is that, you know, you guys that like you said, you know, I don't know what the next step is, because I don't understand how that next step is as far as
it's me spreading my butt cheeks and letting them just sort of stick up.
Pretty much. I mean, so I mean, it's going to have to be, you know, hooking up with a bigger freaking, you know, booking agency, because, you know, now, you know, Massacre's one of those bands, just like all the other bands that sit in your position right now, you know. So you guys at these bigger festivals will play mid-afternoon slots, you know, so you'll play somewhere between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock at night, which is perfect. I mean, it's perfect for you. It's perfect for me. I mean, you know, the two.
Oh, yeah. My old ass can get to bed.
Exactly. Or even cooler is then we get to go, you know, like for freaking in Holland, you know, at the Pit Fest, you know, fucking, I think you guys play at like 6 to 7. And then, you know, after that is Agnostic Front. And then after that is Sick of It All. That means fucking, you know, we can fucking hang out and fucking watch cool fucking bands play. You know, I mean,
exactly.
That is fucking awesome. But, you know, it is. That's the point that, you know, where Massacre sits. Bigger festivals, with the bigger corporate festivals, you guys are sitting at the mid-afternoon time slot. And there's nothing wrong with those slots. You know what I mean? It's just, you know, smaller festivals, you guys headline. you know, the you know, 1,000 to 3,000 people, you know, you guys are still headlining. And you did an obscene extreme that, you know, last summer, and that's 6,000 people. But, you know, basically you guys are like a mid-afternoon slot. And people have to understand that that's where all the bands are at this point. You know, look around, look at the festival lineups. There are very few of the legacy bands that aren't in that spot anymore. And that's, you know, that point, you know, that basically shows, you know, that, you know, it's a good example of what I'm talking about, where the changing of the guard is there and it's starting to happen. So for you, with, you know, being, you know, wanting to take that next step, you know, it's going to mean having to go and get, you know, a bigger agency. And, you know, who knows if, you know, if the festivals are the way to go. But, you know, maybe for you, it's getting out there and doing, you know, doing tours again, and, you know, being out there with some other bands that, you know, you would never think of. I mean, dude, look, Pat's going to be out on the road with Hellwitch opening up for fucking Exciter and Midnight. And I have a feeling when it comes to the end of that tour, you know, it's fucking, you know, I'm not taking anything away from Exciter, but I mean, if it's between Exciter, Midnight, and Hellwitch, I'd rather see freaking Hellwitch. And I don't really like freaking Midnight, but I get the thing with Exciter. I mean, they're a legacy band, you know, but it's, dude, I couldn't watch that as a headline set. But that's just me. And it's great. It's great for Pat and it's great for Hellwitch, because that really gives them a great audience to try to win over. Like we saw last summer, you know, with a package tour with Methane. Dude, for me, Methane went out there every night and fucking killed it. I mean, I don't care, freaking Christian, you know, and the guys. And I mean, I love Frey to death, but dude, Methane went out every night and fucking had something to prove, and they fucking killed it, you know? And it was awesome. It was awesome to see. You know, I mean, it is absolutely awesome to see. And then, you know, you guys went out there every night, you know, and that's the one thing I like about you is, you know, when I was a little bit down in Graz in Austria, and, you know, it was kind of like, oh, this sucks. You know, there's only 45 people here. And you're like, no, fuck that, man. These 45 people are going to get the best goddamn show I can give them. And, you know, that is the old school mentality that, you know, most bands just don't have anymore.
Yeah, I'll mention that, because I mean people don't know, understand the philosophy of that, and I told all the guys and you and everybody all at the same time, is why I don't like bands that come out and take out the poor attendance on the audience. That's not fair. I've been at shows where the band has done that, and it sucks. It's just like, hey, that kid in the audience, or that girl, that guy, that they, whoever paid for that ticket to be at that show, regardless of who else showed up. So I used to be in a band with those members that we're not supposed to talk about on the show that would say, oh, well, there's only, you know, three or four people in the audience, I'm not going to go out there and play. And I'd be like, what? You got to go out and play. You know, you've got to go out and play, because that it's not their fault that the audience participation is low. Are you there?
Yeah, no, I'm completely there. And you know, it was,
sounded like it cut out.
No,
I'm sorry. That's why.
No. I had the microphone turned down, because I mean, there's some background noise every once in a while, but you're right. And you know, the thing is that I always thought the same way. And it was just one of those freaking, you know, it was coming towards the end of the tour. Everyone's fucking, you know, you're just beat up and you're just like, oh, fuck this. I mean, why? But you know, when you said that, you know, it reminded me of that exactly. You know, that was probably the first night some of those people ever saw Massacre. And you don't want to have people go, yeah, I saw Massacre play for 45 people. Yeah, they weren't quite there. It was just, they just didn't give it their all, you know?
Yeah, because, I mean, I was in a band, in this band, Massacre, with people that made that happen. And it was shitty to me, so it made my performance on stage worse. And I was like, once I got rid of those people, and I'll tell you, I got, you know, whatever they, for whatever reason, they either quit, they all quit. I never fired anybody, just to let everybody know. But once they were gone, I was like, I took on the attitude that I'm never going to do that again, regardless of who's in the crowd or not. If it's one kid, or if it's 100, or if it's 1,000 people, I'm going to give them the best, because that's what they deserve. And I am not going to take it out on them. yeah, fuck the promoter for not promoting the show. You know, fuck that guy.
Yeah, or no girl. Shit.
Fuck them. But, you know, not the audience, not the crowd, not the kid that paid. It's not his fault. And I really said to myself, I will never do that again. Unless I'm sick. And if I'm like sick or if I've got shit shooting out of my ass and I've got like bad diarrhea, I might quickly get off stage. But you know, I'm not going to Gigi Allen it. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to do that. But I will always give my best to the people that are my fans because they deserve it. They deserve the best, regardless of the size of the crowd. I'm not going to blame the crowd or the market. I'm not going to blame the market. I'm going to blame the promoter, and I'm going to blame the agency for sticking me in a town that didn't only brought, you know, two or three guys out. Like, hey, know your market. But there you go. I mean, I can't really say any more.
And for the record, as someone that experienced it, Gigi Allen's shit was pretty solid, dude. He didn't have diarrhea when he was flinging shit around in Orlando.
All right.
So there you go. Yeah, so look, that's awesome, you know, and really that made me, you know, it hasn't happened very often that I got to that point. And, you know, it was nice to have, you know, you say that. And, you know, it was a nice reality check for me, you know, because, you know, it felt good, you know, and not in a bad way. You know, it made me remember that, you know, it reminded me that, you know, fuck, shit like this happens. And, you know, it, what can you do? So, so there you go. So go ahead.
I was going to say one more thing, not to pat myself on the back, not to make me sound like a superhero or something special. But another thing you got to remember about that tour was my mom was dying.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be there.
Nope.
But I said, you know, I have to. I have to be there for the fans. I'm not trying to say that to make me sound special.
No.
I'm not saying, I don't want people listening to the episode going, oh, Cam's special because his mom was dying. No. Still went out. That's not what I want.
No. And look, people, I think people have to understand, you know, it was last summer. Look, I'm really looking forward to this summer. Because this summer is a different experience. You know what I mean? This is the experience we didn't get to have last year. And I mean, look, man, you went out there and put on shows and played festivals and did club gigs when other people wouldn't have. You know, most other people would have canceled the tour and said, hey, look, my mom is dying. I can't get out and do that. You didn't do that, dude. You went out every night and you were never down on stage. You know, look, off stage, yeah, you were depressed. You had a rough, you know, you had a rough tour on the private side of things. However, when it came to you being on stage, you standing at the merch booth, you were always, you know, you were always Cam fucking Lee. You know, there was no bullshit. You know, there was no, you know, half-assing it. You were always yourself, which, you know, dude, by the end of the tour, I had so much respect for you in that way that, you know, because I knew what was going on behind the scenes. You know, I knew, you know, that you were depressed. You were sleeping the whole time. You know, you didn't, you know, as Germans say, you had kein Lust. You didn't, you know, personally, you didn't want to be there. You wanted to be home, but you had commitments with the band and you were going to go out there and give it 100%. And that's why I am looking forward to this summer, because this summer we can have fun on tour. This summer, you know, we can do crazy shit and enjoy being out there. So that's why probably, I'm looking for the summer.
We'll probably film more and do more back.
Yes.
There really wasn't. I didn't want to be filmed last year, you know, when I was going through all that, because, you know, and again, I'm not saying this so people listen to the episode and go, oh man, that guy's really cool. He went out and he's, that's not the point.
No,
the point is I would have done it regardless, but yeah, my mom was home dying. I didn't even get to see her when I came home. The day after I got home, she died. So I didn't even get to see her alive again. So I just want people to know that that's the kind of shit that I was going through last year. And if I did anything that may have seemed, you know, a little off, or if I was a little, you know, distant, or if I, you know, because I really felt that I was distant with Methane and Necrosy. I felt like I wasn't in the let's get together and party mood. I was just like, you know, which you explained, you know, so I do feel bad. I felt like, maybe I ignored them a little bit too much, but I was in my own headspace And that's the truth. That's what was happening. That's what was going down.
Yeah. And I mean, dude, I mean, everybody else enjoyed the tour. I mean, you know, it was a cool experience, you know, and you know, this summer is different, you know, not that me or you are huge partiers, but I can imagine we'll get to see a lot more bands than we got to see last year. And, you know, you'll be interested in doing a lot more stuff and, you know, getting out and hobnobbing and, you know, being fans, you know, because that's the other thing people have to realize. And, you know, that's the thing I think a lot of younger bands sometimes miss. And, you know, a lot of these old legacy bands just don't take advantage of is like, if you're like Massacre is playing, you know, good slots, you know, like we said, 6 o'clock slots. How many chances are you going to have to get to go see? I mean, fuck, dude, you guys open for Agnostic Front. You know what I mean? And now again, you know, fucking, what was it? Was that 86 or 85? 86.
Yeah, 80, probably 85 or 86. I think it was 86. Yeah.
So 86. So here you are 28 years fucking later and you're getting, 38 years fucking later. No. Mm-hmm. Fuck math. God, I don't know. God damn it. Anyway, doesn't matter. A bunch of years later, you guys are back up there playing before fucking Agnostic Front again. That's cool as fuck.
A couple of decades. That's how you say it.
Yeah,
sounds
there
small.
We go. A couple of decades and not sound like a math boob. Yeah.
You want to sound intelligent. You speak with an English accent and you say, it was a couple of decades there. Maybe 3 or 4 decades.
Of course.
You know, sound intelligent.
You know, how many of these bands, you know, sit backstage and then don't do anything? You know, they go to their bus and they get stoned or they eat food and that's it. And then they're off. If you have a chance, why would you not get out and see some of these fucking bands? I mean, how much longer is Agnostic Front going to be out there doing it? Not much. Yeah. You know what I mean? Sick of it all. How many times do you get to fucking see that? And not only that, but you get to see it in Europe with a crowd that fucking eats this shit up. I mean, Agnostic Front over here, dude, these fucking kids sing along to every goddamn song. I've seen Agnostic Front so many times over here. I love it. You know, they're always fucking awesome. And, you know, I hope, because I know MOD is going to be touring over here this summer, I hope Billy Milano is out as their fucking tour manager again, because that shit is fucking insane when fucking Billy Milano is out tour managing fucking Agnostic Front. But my point to all that is, you got to get out and experience it. You have to enjoy it, because, you know, I mean, it's coming to the end. You know what I mean? When are you going to have a chance to see fucking, you know, bands like, you know, we laugh about it and it's funny, but I mean, like Dokken in Europe are on the main stage, you know, the same day you guys are playing in fucking Alcatraz, you know, Benediction's playing after you, Marduk's playing there, DRI's playing that day, you know, fucking, who else? Propane, the former Crumbsuckers are playing that fucking day. When do you have a chance to see all those fucking bands for free and get to hang out and have fucking fun? You know what I mean? So maybe younger years, people don't take advantage of it. But I think as you're starting to wind down, you have to take advantage of that stuff, because when this is all over, all you're going to have is memories, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, bugs eating your fucking, you know, rotten brains. Bugs and worms.
Bugs and worms. Yeah. Oh, that's fucking awesome. That makes me fucking happy. So there you go, folks. You know, we're at
I'm going to come off a subject. This is interesting. I watched this recently, thinking about death and bugs and worms made me think of this. So I'm watching this thing on internet, and I've seen it a couple different times. There's this guy, I guess he's like a forensic, you know, pathologist or whatever they're called, where he's gone to on these talk shows and he's talked about. Now, I'm secretly thinking that this guy must hate cats, because he goes on this talk show and he goes, yeah, if you die alone in a house and you have cats, the cats are going to eat you. And he's like, you know, I've seen it.
What?
And then he's like, he's like, and some dogs will eat you, but labs won't. You know, he's all on the internet. You watch him. And I'm thinking to myself, are you trying to scare people to hate cats? Because honestly, look at from my point of view, this is how morbid I am. If I die alone in my house with my cats and my cats eat me, that is the fucking coolest thing I've ever heard. Because it's like, I'm dead already. I don't care. But my cats are surviving by eating my flesh. That is so fucking metal. I don't know what could be more metal than that. So it doesn't scare me. He's like, well, cats will take your head off in like less than an hour, which I think is a little bit bullshit. But Still, if my cats eat my face to survive after I'm dead, who cares? I'm dead. You know, they're living. Of course, now they're going to be slaughtered when somebody comes and you know, somebody calls the police after like 4 weeks. Hey, man, there's something really smelly in this house. And they get in there and my cats are all feral because they've been feeding off my dead corpse for like, you know, 4 weeks. They're going to kill all the cats because they're like, they're going to look at, oh, my God, the cats ate him. But I think it's cool. I think if I die, people, I'm just letting you know, and alone, and, you know, my wife's long gone and stuff, and my cats eat me, don't kill my cats. Just let them be free. Let them go. That's all I'm saying. I will carry on. Wow. I will carry on. I will carry on in my cat's feces.
Okay, well, there you go, folks. As we're wrapping it up, Cam's getting eaten by his cats, and he's now outlived his wife and everyone else in the house. So there you go.
I don't know. I don't think I will. But my wife was scary. I can think of the other way around. I didn't want to put my wife in that position. But I will say it now. I always get worried about my wife because after I'm gone, which I'll probably die first for sure. She's going to be left alone. She's going to be the crazy cat woman. And then when she dies, the cats are going to eat her. So it's just like,
oh, fuck me.
So I'm like,
poor Elena.
Yeah. I'm like, poor, you know, Elena. Come on, you know, well, I've tried to get her to get friends. She just she hates people worse than me. I mean, I'm a misanthrope. I'm not going to lie. I'm a introvert. I am. I don't like going out. I do go out and perform, but I honestly don't like. I don't like people. But you think I'm bad? My wife beats me. That's why I love my wife. We're misanthropes in love. She's fucking. She hates people to the point where she just has no friends. And she's like, I don't want friends. You're my only friend I need. And I'm like, yeah, but I'll die one day. <It's> like,
I'll die one day, but I got cats.
Yeah, that's what she said. Well, I got cats. I'm like, yeah, they'll eat you. And she's like, I don't care. I'm like, yeah, me either.
Dude, that's nice. Yeah. That's fucking wonderful. Well, dude, that's the perfect way to wrap up the fucking episode with fucking cats eating Elena. So look, folks, I don't know. Fucking I don't know. Now that we've done this, I don't know if this is I think I might do this as a standalone episode. I think I might release the besieged stuff as like a 35-minute episode and then release this by itself because this is too cool, man. This is awesome. This makes me laugh. So hey, check it out. If you've got anything to say, and some of you have, I feel bad. I fucking saw that for some reason a couple emails went into the junk yeah. or spam bin, whatever it's fucking called these days. And I will mention you guys on the next podcast. I'm sorry. We appreciate you writing.
Damn you, Pete.
Damn you, Pete. So check it out. Write us an email at the beyondthemassacrepodcast@gmail.com. That's beyondthemassacrepodcast@gmail.com. Write us on Instagram. Hey, really, folks, I can't imagine there's any of you that listen that don't follow us on Instagram. But if for any chance you happen to be that person, can you follow us on Instagram? I'm trying to get us to 1,000 people. And I know people laugh. I mean, there's one guy, dude, that I go watch and I watch his streams and stuff. And he does like live reviews on Wednesday, Wednesdays and Saturdays. And dude, he has like fucking like 3,000 followers, right? And he's always like, because I'm always there, and he's all like, oh, look, it's Pete from Beyond the Massacre podcast. And then he always says it every time. He's like, look, he goes, I don't understand any of this. He goes, you know, Pete's got a podcast with Cam fucking Lee, you know, one of the legends of the death metal scene, and they've got 1,000 followers. He's like, I'm fucking nobody. No one fucking knows me from dick. He wrote like album reviews and stuff for magazines, German magazines. And he's like, I got 3,000. He goes, folks, this just shows you none of this matters. These numbers, they don't fucking matter. It doesn't equate.
Yeah, it don't.
It doesn't equate to anything in the end. So look, we love all you guys for listening to us. We appreciate it. Write us an email, send us an email, give us some likes on whatever streaming platform you do. It does help. Give us a 5-star review. Just don't give us any 1-star reviews. And other than that, Mr. Lee, what you got to say? Oh, yeah. Hey, real quick, $10 t-shirts.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. I've overstocked, so I've lowered the price to $10 if anybody wants them. You know, we got the They Never Die shirt with, you know, original artwork by the artist, you know, Timbal. He did the art again. You know, he's pretty much the in-house artist right at this point. So yeah, I got those marked down to $10 if you want to. You know, $10 plus shipping. I ain't sending them to you free, motherfuckers. But yeah, there's that. And then, you know, like Pete was saying, all of you that do listen to the show, you know, help us get, you know, tell your grandma, you know,
grandma, please,
go listen to this show, or at least, you know, like it. You know, you don't have to listen, just like it. You know, get your grandma, get your aunt, get your kids on it, get your dad, you know, all your, even people that hate you, you know, get them, hey, go listen to this show. It's for you haters. You know, get us, you know, help us, you know, not that the numbers matter, but in a way, you know, it makes us feel good. So next time we jerk off, we feel like, we made 3,000. You know, give us something to jerk off about. You know,
yeah.
Whatever. I don't.
Of course. Something. So there you go, folks. Look, hit up Massacre's Bandcamp. Oh, by the way, folks, it's at Massacre Bandcamp. It's Massacre3 at dot yes, Bandcamp. Because yes. there are some other versions of Massacre out there.
Yeah. Unbelievable. It's still there, and I can't seem to get rid of it. So yeah, I'll give you the whole thing. So for those of you that aren't afraid to write, because I this is another thing too. People will be like, hey, you didn't put the link in the fucking Instagram. I can't go to the website. I'm like, what do you mean you can't go to the website? Can you type, motherfucker? Can you type?
It does.
You gotta click on the link.
It does bring it up. So yeah.
I know. That's like for those people that complain. Let me explain. You type it on your keyboard and you type all lowercase letters www.massacre3.bandcamp.com. No spaces in between. All lowercase letters. There you go. It'll bring you right to the page.
Wait. You messed that up. It's the number 3, because you will have people typing out THREE. So it's all lowercase letters, the word massacre, the number 3 dot what is
Bandcamp.
Dot Bandcamp, yeah, dot bandcamp.com.
Yeah, there's no ad in there or anything. It's just all, you know, it's all a couple of periods and a, you know, a couple of bloody coochies and whatever.
So go get some stuff, folks. Check it out. You know, we'll have some updates coming on about what's going on this summer. You know, we got some tour. I guess we'll start some point. We're going to have to start announcing tour dates, I guess. And
I could throw that. I'll end it with a couple of three. So right off the bat, we're not doing anything. We're currently working, finishing up the album. Yes, the finishing up the album at this current moment. And the new members are actually writing. And new members, I mean, Carlos and Tim. They are writing new material as well. So we're finishing up the new album that Johnny and Roga wrote. Mike Borders will play bass on it. We're actually all the music is. I'll tell you right now where we're at. The music is done. So we're just, you know, finishing. I have to go in and finish up and, you know, mixing and all that's got to be done. So we're at that point. And now we're getting to the point where, you know, we're moving and transitioning over to the new members and all that's happy stuff. Yay. And I actually forgot my point. What the hell was I talking about?
You were going to announce tour dates.
Ah, yeah. So we're off. That's the point. We're now right off. We are off. We're jerking off. No, we're off. You know, we're not doing anything right now for the next couple of months. June is the first tour date, and it's the Czech Fest. It's the Czech Death. Is it Czech Death Fest or Czech?
I don't know. It's we'll put it up on Instagram.
Yeah. So June is the first one. So we're doing a little bit of a mini tour. We're starting the Czech. Then we play a club show in Austria,
Vienna,
and then we play another festival in Poland.
Yes.
So that's really awesome. Of course, they keep using the Superman logo, so fuck you. But so it's out there. You know, excuse the Superman logo for those of you that know I hate it. You know, and it's probably another stab at me. Oh, he hates it. Let's put it on there. Let's put it on there so he gets mad. You know, fuck off. So there's that little three, you know, day little jaunt through Europe. Then we're off for the rest of June, and then we come back in July and do another jaunt where we're going to be hitting, I believe, the Netherlands.
Yeah, Netherlands and for Pitfest, and then London, and then Manchester.
Yeah, so we're going to do the UK, so I can go over there and talk with my fake accent, and you guys can tell me, fuck off, that's not how we sound. And, you know, so you just sound like a stupid American trying to do a British accent, and you're totally fucking it up. So I'm going to do that. And then we are off again. I come back to America, and I think I have a show in Canada
Maybe.
No, it's set. It's okay. Set. It's happening.
Definitely happening. Okay, so
that,
cool.
That show's happening. Yeah, that show's definitely happening in July. Eldon will not be there. We have a replacement drummer coming in to help us out with that show.
Okay.
And then we come back. We come back in August and do all that fun stuff where I'm going to have fun with you and hanging out and doing crazy shit. And then we're going to end up. Where's the last show? In Alcatraz, right?
At the moment, yes. So it'll go Rockstadt in Romania on Thursday. It's the 1st of August. And then it's Dortmund for the Death Fest on the 2nd of August. And then it's the Rewind Festival, which is actually a cool up-and-coming festival, also in Germany on the 2nd. And then there is some probably going to be some club dates in there. All that stuff still TBD or TBA or to be determined, to be announced, TBA in that week. And then you have Friday, which I believe is the 9th or 8th of August. You guys will be in Helsinki for the Hell, H-E-L-L, Sinky Festival, which will be cool because it will be you guys with Cadaver, same stage, going back to back, which will be fucking awesome. It'll be nice to get up there and hang out with Anders and everything. That'll be fucking, that'll be cool as fuck. And then the next day will be the last date, as of now, the last date of the European fucking summer run, which will be in Alcatraz, which is going to be even more crazy because it's you guys and then fucking Benediction playing right after you guys, which is going to be awesome. And if people are going to be there, I'm sure there's been already some discussions about, you know, some people singing songs together. So that'll definitely be a cool way to end up the show and end up the festival run, and then we get to see a bunch of cool bands like Propane, DRI, fucking, and Pete's favorite Europe. We're gonna get to see fucking Europe, so fucking, and Dokken maybe. Dokken, oh, that's awesome. So yeah, that's
final countdown.
I mean, dude, just seeing them play that song in front of like 80,000 Europeans, dude. I mean, I don't care how cheesy and how just cheese ball that is. That's just awesome. I mean, that's fucking, of all the bands I've seen over here when it comes to the European stuff, I've never got a chance yet to see fucking Europe. So for me, that'll check off a fucking box. So there you go, folks. That's it. We'll have some stuff up on the Instagram as far as the actual dates and stuff. And, you know, I really recommend people coming out to seeing the Vienna show, because as of now, technically, that's the only booked club show for the summer. I know there might possibly be some stuff in between there and that week in August, but if not, man, that'll be the only, you know, chance for people to see. Yeah, and it's not true. At the Viper Room, so it means no Stairway to fucking Death.
No, Stairway to Hell.
Yep.
Nope.
Exactly. So
I'm not knocking it. I like the Viper Room other than the stairs. You know, motherfuckers, invest in that fucking elevator.
That's all I'm saying. That's exactly.
Don't give me that. Don't give me that. And we can't dig here. Fuck you.
Exactly.
Fucking find a place to dig.
Find a place to dig. So, folks, there you go. There's our endless rambling. Look, we love you. You guys are awesome for listening. You know, I will say goodbye and I'll turn it over to my co-host over there to let him say something to get us out of here.
Yes. Let the cats eat your face when you're dead.
So, look, folks, we're back. And, you know, I was about to, this week, drop the episode. And I thought, you know what? There's so much cool stuff going on that, you know, hey, you guys deserve an extra long episode. And the funny thing is, you guys listen to the episodes that get downloaded and listened to the most are actually, believe it or not, me and Cam together. So I figured, why not have Cam back on? We'll, you know, record another 30, 40 minutes. We'll tack this on to the other one. So you're hearing two episodes in one. So, Mr. Cam Lee, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm fine. They like us. They really like us.
They do like us, man.
I know. It's so bizarre. It's so weird.
Isn't it? Yeah, but dude, it's awesome. And I mean, look, man, it goes perfectly with the whole, you know, with the whole resurgence of, see what I did there, with the whole resurgence of, you know, people, you know, getting into Massacre again and digging this stuff. So this makes me happy. So, hey, look, I had something today that I woke up to that kind of falls in line with some stuff you want to talk about. So let me discuss this whole freaking Summer Slaughter tour festival package, which apparently has freaking blown up the internet today.
I'm gonna learn a lot, you know, just listening to you on this. So I'm learning right now with just along with the listeners. So please enlighten us.
So I woke up this morning reading someone's story, and it was basically so Metal Sucks put out a message that basically said, you know, was announcing, you know, the Summer Slaughter festival, and you know how basically insinuating that it was nothing special, you know. And so the Summer Slaughter festival,
fuck that guy, by the way, fuck that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, I mean, it couldn't have happened to, you know, to shittier fucking people, and it makes me fucking happy because, you know, we both have zero freaking love for fucking the Metal Sucks fuckers or the Blabbermouth fucking Sucks fuckers, you know what I mean? So they all fucking suck. But anyway, here we go. So Summer Slaughter responded to Metal Sucks in their Instagram by saying, regardless if we booked Cannibal Corpse or Fetus or Resurrected or Necrophagia or Cynic or whoever, you're still a bunch of pro-vaccine mandate brainwashed pharma kook sheep bootlickers. Have a good day bowing to your publicity traded owners, you fucking posers. So that is what fucking the Summer fucking Slaughter tour people had to say to Metal Sucks, which made me happy. I mean, really, you don't see people going, people of that size, because, you know, Sumerian Records and you know, the Summer Slaughter people that do this festival, it's one of the biggest, you know, tour packages, you know, when it comes to touring bands and stuff. So, you know, first of all, what do you have to say about that with, you know, basically this touring festival organizers, you know, basically telling fucking Metal Sucks to suck a dick?
Well, I've kind of been, you know, telling people a couple of months now,
right?
As I'm bringing this shirt back that they can order, posers and wimps shall burn in the pit. I mean, this scene or joke of a scene, and I don't mean to rip on everybody, and I don't mean everybody. So if you're getting your panties in a twist when I say this, you're obviously somebody who feels this way, and your panties deserve to be in a twist. But no, this scene is parasitically infested with so many posers and wimps. It's becoming evident. I salute the Summer Festival guys for, you know, saying that what they said, you know, giving fucking Metal Sucks a piece of their fucking mind, because, you know, I don't really know. I don't know what Metal Sucks said, but obviously if they downplayed the festival, fuck them. You know, fuck that guy, because he does. He's a fucking corporate ball licker.
I know
because all the fucking bullshit he does. You know that he tried to paint me in a picture, but he went along with Freddie's smear campaign, and you know, so fuck anybody that supports that kind of shit, and on any side of it. You know.
Yeah. So here I pulled it up because I wanted to actually, you know, be fully transparent on this. So yeah. Metal Sucks posted, first batch of Summer Slaughter tour bands announced. Don't hold a candle to the years past. So, you know, basically implying that, you know, the bands this year aren't as good as the bands in the past. Now, this is what I did because I was curious because, you know, I mean, look, you don't pay attention to this stuff. I don't pay attention to this stuff.
No, not really.
But I got to say, this kind of goes along the lines with what people heard from us in the earlier. So this is going to be tacked onto the end. So the earlier part of this podcast, this all falls in line perfectly. So here's the deal.
Cool.
All the bands that are on this year's Summer Slaughter tour are bands, honestly, I don't know any of them. You know, it's Veil of Maia or Maya, Brains, god damn, these fucking people with their logos, Brand Disarfication, Gildian, 1056, Talon.
So basically, it's a bunch of
they're newer bands. Now, here's the deal. We talked about that at the beginning of this episode by saying this is what's going to happen, right? This was going to be the changing of the guard was starting to happen. So here's the deal. I thought I would pull up just as an example, so people would get it. Would you know? Because I'm sure people that listen to this understand. We also have a lot of Europeans that listen to this podcast who have no clue what Summer Slaughter Festival, touring festival is. It does come to Europe, but it has a different bill when it comes to Europe. But I want to give them an example of basically what Metal Sucks was kind of implying. So here's the deal. 2016, the touring lineup was Cannibal Corpse, Nile, Suffocation, Burial After... and then you have, 2018, you had Arch Enemy. I don't know any of these other bands, sorry. 2015, you had Morbid Angel, Dying Fetus, Goat Whore. You had Dillinger Escape Plan headlining 1 year. You've had Cannibal on there multiple years. Black Dahlia Murder, White Chapel, Darkest Hour, 6 Feet Under, Dying Fetus, 1 year. Decapitated was on another year. You know, you could see that they, you know, they were in the past were going with what people wanted, which, you know, everybody needed, or at least we thought they needed. You needed those, the legacy bands up top, you know, you needed those bands to draw people in. However, as time has gone on, you don't need those bands anymore. And so where Metal Sucks kind of stuck their own freaking foot in their mouth was basically implying, well, hey, you know, these bands can't hold a candle to the past. Well, the problem is maybe the past can't hold a candle to what the kids are doing today.
Exactly. That's my thing. It's just, I'm sure we're coming to a thing. Even I am. It's just like, I'm surprised people still fucking want to see, you know, Massacre out there doing this old shit. I'm fucking tired of playing this old shit, but I'll give it to them. It's what they want. But, you know, it's the last time. But when there's these newer bands, and I didn't mean to say unknown bands, but these newer upcoming bands, I should say, from what I hear, a lot of it, it's fucking, you know, for one, you got 6-year-old kids playing blast on drum kits. You know, you got younger generations, like, you know, ripping it up on guitar and just playing stuff that, you know, it's just amazing. So you've got these younger generations. You're 3-4 generations into this stuff. I mean, we're 40 years into death metal. 40 years. I mean, I'm 57. I do have two daughters that are in their 30s, and they have kids. So, you know, that's where we're at. We're in that. We're the, you know, 3 generations into this type of music, and they're definitely going to be bands that are new, and they're the new thing. The older bands, it's they're going out. Let's put them out the pasture. God damn it! It's time.
and look, it makes sense. And you know, it's funny that we were talking about that because really, look, it makes sense now. You know, like you said, dude, no, these younger kids, you know, though they appreciate the Cannibals, though they appreciate the Massacres, and we saw it last summer. Yeah, you know, I personally was surprised how many, even just at some of the club shows, how many of the younger kids were there. I mean, in young, you know, I thought that was awesome, you know, but, you know, they want to see bands that are closer to their age. They want to see, you know, this newer version of stuff. And though it's not my version of music and you know, I don't particularly like it. However, that doesn't mean that it's not good. And if that's what the kids today are listening to, I'm not going to be the old man going, well, that's not music. It's just not what I like. It's not what I grew up with. You know, the whole pig squeal vocals and all that stuff. That's not my world. Or the deathcore stuff that has singing plus death metal and has melodies, and stuff in it. That's also not my world. However, if that's what the kids are listening to, they're the future. You know, we're just the old men at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. We're granddaddy rock at this point. Yeah.
Could you ever imagine that there would be a time when, you know, our generation of death metal would basically be like the oldie station on the radio that our parents used to listen to?
You know, it's when they start putting out those compilations. That you can get off the PBS channel.
Dude, we're dating ourselves because most people listening to this probably have no clue what that is. But it was the what was the couple? Was it Ronco?
Something like that. They did like the best of each era. They had the best of the 60s, best of the 70s, best of the 80s. And that's when you started hearing, like Poison and Bon Jovi all on this one compilation. Best of the 80s rock. God. And then actually, honestly, I do think at just before that company went belly up or whatever it did, because, you know, that was CDs back then. Now everything's, I do believe there was a time that they did a thrash, you know, and it had like Metallica, Megadeth.
Oh, I'm sure.
A lot of the, I think that was like one of the last things they put out. And then finally, you know, the internet caught up and everybody was like, CDs, I'm not fucking looking to do a CD. I'm not going to carry that around. I can just put this MP3 player and there's all my music. 1,000 songs on the size of my thumb.
Right. You know? Yeah. It's crazy. And you know, look, man, it's just awesome that, you know, we talked about it. People are hearing that first and they're hearing this and, you know, kind of to be, you know, show that, you know, we're not so out of touch, you know, that what we're.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about stuff like, you know, I was bringing up stuff to you beginning of the week. We were going to record about, you know, I was reading something where these younger bands don't quite understand. And I'm going to say too, I didn't understand it at first about, like I'm saying, when you play live, and I was going to bring that up about people saying, oh, we got to pay to play and stuff like that. And yeah, that's gay. But if you got to understand it, and I triggered somebody. I said the gay word.
You're fine.
That's the 1980 coming out of me. But no, I mean, the simple fact that, you know, people used to bitch about, I'm not going to pay to play. But then as I got older, I started realizing, oh, well, you know, you're renting the venue. You know, it's like, it's not like you're paying to play. You're actually renting the venue. And what it is you've got to get with the venue owner to figure out exactly what are you paying? How much is the venue you're renting, first off? And then what's being paid out of that they're asking? So an example, like I played the Conduit here in Orlando, and they ask for a set price that you can rent the venue for. And in that set price is not only the price for the venue, it's also the price for the house sound guy, the bartender, the people at the door. And if you wanted more security and all that, that comes out more, you know. You know, I figured, fuck it, it's Florida, I can carry my gun. So that's the only security I need. So, but, you know, so there's a lot of that in you know, that goes into this whole, you know, renting venues, but not all venues do that. Like I was trying to tell you, there's the venue in Savannah that I know that he doesn't rent out his venue, but he just gives you a band a certain time, and he just expects a 70-30 split. He'll take 30% and give the bands 70% of whatever. So I like that in a way, because that is more, everyone's going to get paid regardless of who shows up, who doesn't.
Yeah, and that's cool. And dude, a 70-30 split at the door is, I mean, that's, we both know that is ultra rare. That is not a very common thing, because, you know, wow. I mean, that's a dream, especially if you know somewhere where you can pull, you know, people. Mm-hmm. And obviously that gives the band more of an incentive, because, you know, me and you briefly hit on that earlier today, where we were discussing, you know, we know someone that was out there on tour at the moment and has been having a rough go of it, you know, and kind of had a surprise that, you know, shows might not be as full as some people thought when they, you know, when they took a tour.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, that's something that a lot of people don't realize. I think a lot of people book tours and just assume people are going to come out. And the reality is, unless you have like a bunch of local bands or have a name that's going to bring people out, people really don't give a shit. You know,
it's unfortunate. And also promotion really matters. And promoting on social media is not what we're talking about, guys. it's not getting you anywhere.
Exactly. It's not. And you know, I had the conversation in the Besieged interview with Barney about, you know, the old days of flyering and how much they used to love doing flyers, and how, you know, they'd walk around Birmingham handing out flyers to this club they were running. And, you know, that is something that doesn't exist anymore. You know, now for people, promotion is literally going on Instagram and posting something, and that's it. You know, I mean, it's
Instagram or Facebook. Yeah, I mean, and it's not. It doesn't bring in. Yeah, every day it's every day someone's on Facebook. Every day someone's on social media, but so are 1,000 other bands. And every day people scroll down, and they might not necessarily. They might see your post, and then they might forget about it 5 seconds later because that's the kind of world we live in. We live in this completely, you know, world where it's short attention spans. And unless you're keeping that attention going some way, somehow, you're going to lose people. And unless you're, you know, people aren't, everything's been done, you know, to the point where it's like, what are you really bringing to the table that's going to be different, that's going to be special? Some bands do pull. I mean, you know, Belushi Speedball, fucking amazing. Every time I see their shows, they're packed. But they're fun. They're fun to see.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
That's why. They go out of their way. They've got the fucking pool noodle, you know, fights, the garbage tossing, the bubble machine. You know, it's something where people can go and not get karate kicked in the face by people doing pit karate. So it's a little bit different, you know. So
it's the same thing with Guar. You know, Guar is selling out or close to selling out. You don't see Guar having empty shows because you're getting it's an experience. You know, and people have to understand that's what people want now. People want something people want something that's different. Look, as much as we hate it and we think it's kind of cheesy, the whole row, row, row your boat band, there are people that actually go to see them just because, you know, they want to see everyone
sit on the floor.
Yeah, they want to sit on the floor and row a fucking boat. You know what I mean? Yeah, and you're just wow. I mean, this is what, but look, that's what it is. That's the way, that's what's happening. You know, it's, oh, good God, you know, and
yeah. I mean, I get it. It's because, and that's the thing. We're so far, and like I was saying earlier, we're 40 years into death metal now.
Yeah.
Extreme metal. Black metal. You can only watch so many fucking evil pandas before it becomes as like, okay, here's another evil panda doing the soundtrack to Dracula. How many fucking times am I going to see this? You know, I do get surprised when I see other bands that you know, I wouldn't think, like Nightmare and that one Batshitsku, whatever, I can never fucking name that band, that Polish band where, you know,
you mean Midnight.
Yeah, Midnight. Yeah, Midnight and what did I say? Nightmare? Yeah Midnight and Batshitsku, Batshitska.
Whatever they're called.
Batshitska, whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
I call them Batshits, but, you know.
The Orthodox people doing the crazy Orthodox thing on stage.
Yeah, it's a show. You want to go see it. You might not be into the music, or you might be into the music. I don't know. But you're going to experience something different. If you're just an average, you know, death metal, grindcore, whatever band, just bringing a show. It's like 40 years of this shit, you know? It's like,
yes, very much so. And look, so check it out. And this is something I was not aware of. So I'm going to go on the 20th of May down to Munich, and I'm going to see John Siren's, one of his other bands, but actually his band, not something he just plays drums in, called Cyclone 9. And so I'm doing the history and reading on it, and it's basically it is like heavy, like aggressive electro-industrial with black metal roots. Now, I'm like, well, that's really odd. So I go on and I'm looking at these other bands that are open, that are on tour with them. Dude, there is a doom bass electro band on tour with them, and I'm like, they're literally crossing like black metal vocals and like the logo and that like imagery with like electro and like deep hard hitting like old school techno bass. And I'm like, holy shit, where have I been? What the fuck is going on here? And it's amazing, the new genres and the new stuff that is starting to pop up, that people are just like, well, you know, I will see your black metal and I'll raise you, you know, an Atari Teenage Riot and like extreme, you know, electro. And hey, we'll throw in some 80s rave fucking kick drums and we're going to throw some distortion on this and we're going to make absolute insanity. And it's honestly, I was like, well, that's fucking different. And I'm actually looking forward to going to the show and seeing that live, because that's something I've just never seen.
Yeah, I mean, I there is stuff that's definitely out there. Like, you know, I don't know if you know about Putrebaiter. They're from France. They're electro black metal grind, whatever hell he feels like doing. Yeah, it's definitely some weird crossover stuff that's cool and out there, especially in the electronic music vein. I try to be aware of some of this stuff, you know, and get some of this stuff. And like I said, the Putrebaiter is one of the guys, you know, I think he's a French guy, James Kent, I think is his name. Yeah, and he does kind of like the synthwave black metal. Fuck, man, I'm old. You know, I listen to my stuff and I like it, but then I'm like, is anyone else going to like it? You know, I don't fucking know. It's starting to sound dated, you know? I mean, that's why I like the fact that now I have newer musicians coming in. Maybe they'll bring something, a different flavor to it. I mean, of course, I'm not going to be a band that changes and sounds different every fucking album. That's something I try not to do. I try to keep to the foundation. You know, that's what I've been doing since I came back with Resurgence and Mythos and even the Corpus Umbra stuff and the new album that's coming out and even the new stuff that's being worked on. So, you know, I try to keep that base root foundation, you know, even though it may be, it's Coca-Cola, but sometimes it may be cherry flavored Coca-Cola or orange flavored Coca-Cola. It's still got the fucking foundation to it.
Yeah. And look, man, that is something that I think sets you apart from a lot of the other bands. And I mean, like we said before, you know, the fact that you had time off from the whole thing and the fact that Massacre was in the position it was in, it made it more easy for you to come back and continue the legacy without having, you know, having slogged out the last 30 fucking years of, you know, having to write the same album over and over and over and over again. So
yeah, exactly.
And having younger players too. I mean, you know, you've done that. You've surrounded yourself with, you know, Carlos, who, you know, is an awesome guitarist and now coming into his own, you know, getting out there and starting to write songs and stuff, which is fucking also cool. You have Tim now, you know, your new bassist that also writes, which is cool. And it's also going to add a different flavor to it because, you know, anyone that listens to the podcast knows that, you know, it's been Johnny and Roga writing everything. And now, you know, you're going to be able to bring a different, you know, a different flavor into it, but, you know, it's still going to be the same flavor. You know, it might have a little bit different spice to it now. Obviously, it's going to have a Puerto Rican spice to it now.
No, I think it has a more of a Florida. I will say that the two new songs that they've written, which they've already written. I mean, that's how far ahead we are right now. And I like to stay like that. I like to stay ahead of the game. I like to have new material coming in constantly. You know, and I'm not dismissing anything that Johnny and Roga did because prior, like I've said this many times before, prior to Corpus Umbra material, right after, or just before, actually, Resurgence. They had handed me, they had gave me the Resurgence material and we were working on more stuff and they gave me some more material and I completely said, no, it's not going to work. That's not working. I felt it wasn't really there at their best. So I threw that out. I got rid of it. I scrapped it all. The best stuff that we kept and we reworked turned out to be to Tri-Apocalypse songs. That was very much reworked material from the stuff they gave me. But it was only the best of the riffs, I thought. And then they gave me the newest album, which is still untitled. I'm not going to spread, you know, quite. I'm working on a couple titles. And I think it's some of the greatest stuff yet because it really encompasses the older style rather than it going. I think it goes back to the demo style. Now, I'm not saying that it sounds like Alan West type stuff because that would diminish the whole purpose. But it goes back to the 80s, and that influence is really prevalent in the material that we wrote this time around.
And that's,
but I mean, that's not even the, yeah.
Dude, I mean, but that's cool. And I mean, that's, you know, look, if you heard that from another band, you would just consider that, you know, someone was pandering to their audience, pandering to the scene, pandering to whatever. But the thing is, you pretty much were at the beginning of the whole scene, so you can't pander to something you were part of at the beginning. You know what I mean? That's the cool part. You know what I mean? You're just basically going back to your roots. You know, you're just going to, you're just basically rewinding the clock a little bit and doing the same thing, you know, not the same exact thing, but taking influence basically from yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was like one thing that the one song I had Carlos do a solo on, because, you know, I have Carlos come in and do a solo on that this new album. I've had Fray Mancini come in and do some solos. I've had some other guest people come in. The one song that Carlos played on, I remember when I played it for him, he's like, that doesn't really sound like Massacre. I'm like, yeah, because it's a D beat, old school. It's still Massacre. It has those retaining roots, but it's old. It's more like an old school D beat song. You know, it has more of a punk flavor. And I say that loosely because people hear that and they go, oh God, what's it going to be like Green Day? No, it's not. It's not like that. You know? Yeah.
No. Yeah.
But it has the D beat. And that's what the whole point is. The song has the D beat. Early Swedish death metal has that D beat. And that's more or less what I would say. It's more in the vein of that early Swedish death metal with that really, you know, UK D beat. That Swedish D beat, anti-scene, discharge type of influence, and I'm really happy with this song. It's one of my favorite songs. But we've got a whole spectrum of early death metal kind of on this new album, and I really pushed them to go. I said, look, let's not listen to From Beyond, because From Beyond was literally written in 85 and 86. Let's go before that. Let's go back to 84, 85, those influences. Try to put your head in that kind of sense of what would have influenced you back then. And I think we did pretty well. I think we did. I think we encapsulated a lot of stuff from 84 through 94. There's a decade of that kind of like influence in this new album.
And dude, that's awesome. And you know, you couldn't.
I sound like I'm doing an interview. I'm like, holy shit, I'm doing a fucking interview.
That's awesome. I love when you get in that zones and you just go, dude. I just pod my mic down. I'm like, there we go. Cam's driving forward. But no, man, look, it's right. And you know the nice thing is I always know when you get on one of those things and you go, I know you're talking about something you're passionate about. And that's the one thing, you know, dude, look, we've been doing this a while together, you know, and the one thing I've noticed more than anything else is whether you're up, whether you're down, whether it's a good day, a bad day, you always have a passion for what you're doing and what you're putting out. And, you know, that's something that, you know, like I said, taking time off for all those years means that you have a passion now that a lot of the legacy bands don't have about their music because they're burnt out on it. You know, they've been doing it constantly for the last 30 something years where you had a break in there, you know, which is why you have that passion still for what you're doing, probably more than ever at this moment.
You know how old I am, dude? We went to the store the other day and my wife nudged me on the shoulder, pointed up at a sign and said, look. And I look at the sign and it says senior citizens discount 55 and older. He's like, you can get a discount now, man. I'm like, fuck you. Fuck you.
We know who's paying from now on fucking whipping up that ID card. Look, driver's license. I'm 57. I get a, oh, fuck me. That had to hurt. Yep. Oh,
I said,
man.
Fuck you. I'm just going to pay the regular price. I'm not fucking not expecting it. Oh. I will save the $3 or waste the $3.
But you know what, dude? That's something cool because, you know, I've had that conversation lately, and that's something kind of cool to segue to. Dude, we're the first generation that, you know, we're going to be the cool old people. You know, whereas, you know, I see all these other, you know, people in their 80s and, oh, good. I hope I make it to 90. I don't know if I'm living good at that point, but you know what I mean? So when you see people in their 70s, 80s and 90s now, they still dress like old people, but you know, you're starting to see some of the people in their 60s, you know, still wearing the jeans, still wearing the t-shirt, still, you know, wearing the Converse and all that stuff. And it's going to be by the time we're that age, the 70s and 80s, we're still going to be dressing the same. We're not going to have that old person and do that whole that whole industry that catered to old people clothing, old people, those orthopedic shoe things and all that stuff, dude, it's all going to be gone. None of that's going to exist anymore because, you know, our generation is just not going to be wearing that. We're going to be the generation that's going to be in our 70s and 80s still playing video games, you know, still wearing t-shirts, jeans, shorts, the whole nine yards, you know, okay, fine. You know, maybe it might be kind of hard to get to the, you know, adult depends on over, you know, underneath the jeans and everything, but it's the way it's going to be. And we're going to be that first generation that's not going to have old people clothing, man.
First off, it's camouflage shorts. Secondly, now you're talking about that. I'm looking, literally, this is true. This is the honest truth. I wish we had video. I'm currently looking at my emails and I just got I'm on the Misfits, you know,
right?
You know, mailing list. So the Misfits just put out
an
email, and it's got clothes in it. And it, believe it or not, they have a Misfits Fiend cardigan sweater. And motherfucker, if I'm not buying it, it is. It's $84.99. It's a cardigan sweater. It is a Misfits. That is what my old man ass is going to be dressed in. And they've actually got two of them. They've got the Misfits pullover sweater, and they've got the button-up cardigan one. And then you go down, and they got some Misfits hybrid shorts that look pretty fucking awesome. And then they've got the Misfits short sleeve button-up flannel shirt and the long sleeve flannel shirt. I'm like really like, oh shit, I need to buy this stuff because that's how I'm gonna dress when I'm an old fucker.
Hell yes.
You know, yeah. So I'm going to look like, you know, that old man in that cardigan sweater, but holy fuck, it's going to have the Fiend on it from the Misfits. So, yeah. So there you go. We are taught. We somehow sessed way over to old folks clothing.
So, well, I mean, because it makes sense, man. And, you know, that's the cool thing when it comes to all that is that, you know, it is something that's going to be relevant to us. It's going to be relevant to our, you know, to our generation, you know.
You know what I just thought about? Were we supposed to be talking about the cats eating your face? Was that supposed to be in this episode?
I don't know. Were we supposed to be talking? Well, yes. I mean, that happened. So they heard that. So they heard that ending the prior stuff. So look, we love you guys. You heard all this stuff at the end of the first one, which didn't end and just became this. So, you know, whatever. We love you. You guys are awesome for listening. Cam, say something.
Hey, you know, just write us, write Pete, write me, you know, let us know what you want to hear and what you want us to talk about. Cause otherwise we'll just continuously talking about redneck air conditioners.
Yes.
So, you know, let us know something, you know, hit us up on Beyond the Massacre at gmail.com.
Beyond the Massacre Podcast.
Yes. Beyond the Massacre Podcast at gmail.com.
Bingo.
Write us an email. Or hey man, we are on social media, so you could drop some, you know, social media messages.
Send us something on Instagram. Send Cam something over there on Facebook. Yes. Hey, by the way, folks, I know there is a Facebook page for because I saw Cam liked it. I changed the fucking logo to the new one. I completely forgot it was there. And just so you know, I'm not gonna do anything on it. There is one there. I'm trying to figure out a way to automatically populate the links over to it when the new episodes come out, but that's going to be it. So if you guys like write messages to us over there, just know that like maybe once every like year, I'll click onto that account. I really honestly, I forgot it was there. I completely forgot it was there.
Yeah. I try to forget about Facebook too, but I can't. I'm forced to fucking use it. Like, oh fuck, I got to use this thing again.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Well, you
it's
have
like,
to,
it, it's like, you know, it's like that forced anal sex that you don't really want to have, but every once in a while, if you want to climb this ladder, you better bend over, motherfucker.
All right.
Just pop.
So on that note, folks, I'm cutting this thing off. We're done. We appreciate you guys for listening. Hey, if you made it all the way through the end of this thing, send me a message and tell me you made it through the end of this thing. So on that note, we're out of here.